Masechet Avodah Zarah, Perek Bet, Mishnah He. In the last Mishnah, we had a machloket about cheese that comes from a place called Bet Unyaki. Bet Unyaki was a location where most of the calves there were brought as korbanot to idols. Therefore, the rennet, which is the enzyme that's in the stomach of the calf, is used in the production of cheese that is prohibited and asur behana'a, according to some. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to eat this type of cheese, but the machloket in the last Mishnah was, are you allowed to benefit from it? This Mishnah will talk about the general gezerah about eating cheese of Gentiles, of non-Jews. We'll talk about a rabbinic decree that was made about eating the cheese of non-Jews. The individuals discussing in the Mishnah are Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Yehoshua was the more senior rabbi, Rabbi Ishmael the student, and Rabbi Ishmael is really asking him the question about a new law that was made in their time, in Yavne actually, post-Horban, after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, where Rabbi Ishmael was wondering, this new law about eating cheese from non-Jews, that they prohibited it, what's the rationale, what's the reason behind it? We'll see Rabbi Yehoshua trying to dodge the question. He's not going to reveal the true reason behind it, in the beginning at least, because the Hachamim did not reveal the rationale behind their takanot for at least 12 months. They wanted to make sure that the takana would catch, that people would practice it, and that people don't neglect to follow because they disagree. Once it's followed, once it's the common practice by everybody, then that rationale could be revealed. And then even if people disagree, they're not going to violate the established law. Another point we have to make before we introduce the Mishnah is that especially in the times of the Mishnah, all cheese was made from cow, goat, or sheep milk. The other animals, for example, pig, the milk of pigs wouldn't cheesify. If it wouldn't turn into cheese, it wouldn't congeal without the fact that it was cow, goat, or sheep. That was the only type of animals that would turn into cheese. What they would do in the cheese-making process is they would add rennet, which is a type of enzyme taken from the stomach of an animal, a tiny amount of it, which is like a rennet, like a hardened, congealed piece of milk, hardened out, and they would add that to regular milk, and then it would all harden. They would add a tiny amount of this, so there's obviously betul, it's nullified in terms of the kashrut of it. So the question really is, why isn't all of this cheese kosher? That's what Rabbi Ishmael is asking Rabbi Yehoshua. So let's jump right in to the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda tells over the following story. Sha'al Rabbi Ishmael et Rabbi Yehoshua kishahayu mehalechin baderech. Rabbi Ishmael asked the question to Rabbi Yehoshua while they were traveling together on the road. Amar lo, mipene ma asru gevinot ha'ovde kochavim. He said to him, why did the rabbis prohibit eating cheeses of idol worshippers? Amar lo, Rabbi Yehoshua answered him back, mipene shema amidinota bekeva shel nevela. He answered him back, because they congeal the milk with the rennet from the stomach of a nevela, of a non-kosher animal. They take a piece of hardened milk from the stomach of a non-kosher animal, they'll put it in the regular milk, and they'll allow that to congeal, to harden, and that'll become a problem because the cheese now is made from not kosher rennet. That's the answer of Rabbi Yehoshua. But Rabbi Ishmael is not going to accept that answer. Amar lo. Vehalo kevat ola hamura mikevat nevela. He says, the rennet from the stomach of a ola offering is treated on a much stricter level than the rennet of a nevela, a ola offering, a korban. You're prohibited to have any benefit from it whatsoever when you are allowed to benefit from a nevela. So when it comes to the ola offering, ve'amru kohen shida'ato yafa sorefa haya. But Hachamim told us that a Kohen who is not really sensitive, he's not disgusted to drink whatever's inside of the animal's stomach, then he's allowed to drink the rennet directly from the stomach of the Ola offering while it was raw. So what do we see over here? We see that the rennet of an Ola does not have the same status as the Ola. The rennet doesn't have the same status of an animal, and therefore you're allowed to, in the case of the Ola, to drink the rennet. the connection to that would be, in the case of a regular nevela, the renit wouldn't be connected to that nevela. The status of the nevela is disconnected to the status of the renit. So, kal vachomer, if we're saying that the renit of an ola is permitted, kal vachomer, that the renit of a nevela is also permitted. It's also no problem. So therefore, why did Rabbi Hoshua say that the renit from the nevela is an issue? That's the question of Rabbi Ishmael. We'll sort of put this part of the Mishnah in parentheses. It's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi adding this part in, because he's going to say that not everybody agrees that the Kohen is allowed to eat the renit of a ola. So even according to that opinion, he's going to say Rabbi Ishmael's challenge to Rabbi Hoshua would be valid even according to those rabbis, and he'll spell it out. Velo hodulo, there are rabbis who did not agree with the ruling that was said in the name of Hachamim, that the renit is permissible to be eaten of an ola. Aval amru, enhenin velo mo'alin. But even those rabbis who said you're not allowed to eat the renit, they said, yeah, you're not allowed to benefit from the renit of an ola, you're not allowed to drink it, but if you did benefit from it, it's not considered to be me'ila. Me'ila, if somebody uses the property of the Beit HaMikdash or the Kohanim for their own benefit when they weren't allowed to, they have to bring a korban asham. So by the fact that we see that even those rabbis who don't allow you to drink the renit, they don't consider it to be me'ila. So even those rabbis would say that benefiting from the renit of an ola is only drabanan, that the rabbis, they wanted to make sure that we treated the korbanot properly, so they said, you're not allowed to benefit from the renit. So Rabbi Ishmael's objection to Rabbi Yehoshua is even valid according to them, because we see, technically, on a deoraita level, the renit of the ola is disconnected from the ola itself, and deoraita level, you can eat it. But they wanted to be mahmir, and they wanted to ban it on a rabbinic level. But we do see that the status is different. We see the status of the renit is different than the animal. So therefore, bottom line, it should be permitted. So therefore, when it comes to our case of the cheeses, just because the renit of a nevela is used to make the cheese, why should that make the cheese not kosher? It doesn't take on the status of the nevela animal that it came from. Hazar Amarlos, Rabbi Yehoshua came up with another answer that he told Rabbi Ishmael. He said the reason why we prohibited the cheese of idol worshippers is because idol worshippers, they curdle the cheese with rennet from the stomach of an animal, of a calf, that was offered for the sake of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, if it was offered for Avodah Zarah, at that point in time, it becomes forbidden forever, because you're not allowed to benefit whatsoever from something that was involved in Avodah Zarah. So he disconnected it from the answer that he gave earlier about the nevela, because we saw that the renit of a nevela animal would be permitted. Doesn't make everything not kosher. But here, when it's bordering on Avodah Zarah, or it's actually connected to Avodah Zarah, that's why we're mahmir, because a person cannot benefit from Avodah Zarah. But Rabbi Ishmael doesn't like that answer either. Amar lo, im ken, lama lo asaruha behana'a, says Rabbi Ishmael, if that's your logic, if you're telling me that the reason we're prohibiting cheeses of non-Jews is because they make it with the rennet of an animal that was used for Avodah Zarah, then the cheese that we're talking about should be also asur behana'a. It's connected to idol worship, and therefore you shouldn't be able to sell it. We only have the cheese being banned from consumption, from eating it. So why don't we also say that you're not allowed to benefit from it as well? Rabbi Yehoshua does not want to reveal the true intention of Hachamim when they came to prohibit cheeses of Gentiles. As we stated in the introduction to this Mishnah, Hachamim wanted this prohibition to grab hold of the people. They wanted them to practice it. He wanted it to make it settled law, that people are going to follow it and no one's going to question it after it was established. So they didn't reveal, he didn't want to reveal the reason to him. So therefore, what Rabbi Yehoshua did is he tried to change the subject. He tried to ask a separate question, leaving things unresolved. And he wanted to talk about a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And he told him, Hisi'o ledavar aher, directed the attention of Rabbi Ishmael to another topic. Amar lo, Ishmael ahi. He asked him, Ishmael, my brother, how do you read the following pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Ki tovim dodecha miayin, or ki tovim dodayich? The word dodecha, there's no nikudot, obviously. It's all tradition. It's all coming from the Mesorah, how you vocalize and vowelize the Pisukim. So he asked them, how do you read the Pasuk? Is it Kitovim Dodecha Miyain or is it Kitovim Dodayich Miyain? Which one is it? And the difference would be, if it's read the first way, it's obviously talking about the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. We're saying that full Pasuk is Yishakeni Minishikot Pihu. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Talking about Hashem kissing the Jewish people, Kivyachol, which is a metaphor for the Jewish people, that they're longing for closeness with Hashem, that he's going to reveal to them the secrets of the Torah. Yishakeni Minishikot Pihu. And then the continuation is Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin or Kitovim Dodayich Miyayin. If it's read the first way, then it's the Jewish people talking to Hashem and saying that they want to be kissed by Hashem because the love of Hashem is better than wine. Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin. If it's read the second way, Kitovim Dodayich, then it's the Jewish people quoting Hashem, speaking about them. That the Jewish people long to be kissed by Hashem because Hashem said about them, your love is better than wine. It's a quote that Hashem said about the Jewish people. So those are the two ways that you could read this pasuk. Rabbi Ishmael responded, Amar lo, ki tovim dodayich, said Rabbi Ishmael. He thinks that the second approach was correct, that the word dodayich is here, that the Jewish people are quoting Hashem. They're longing to be kissed by Hashem because they're quoting him where he said that their love is better than wine. Rabbi Yehoshua rejected. Amar lo, en hadavar ken. He said, no, I don't think you're correct. I think that the first approach is correct and that the pasuk should be read, ki tovim dodecha miyayin. How do we know that? Shehari havero melamed alav. We see the next pasuk, it's friend, havero. The next pasuk afterwards teaches us how we relate to this nikudot. Lereach shemanecha tovim. We read the pasuk as your oils have a good smell. And we read the word here, shemanecha. Shemanecha is addressing Hashem, as opposed to shemanayich, which would be a quote about Hashem addressing the Jewish people. So we see from the next pasuk over that the word is shemanecha, so the word in the previous pasuk would also be dodecha, also addressing Hashem.